This, our second midweek Lenten service, we begin in the name of our triune God, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is in your bulletin on the bottom of page number 7. We read from Luke chapter 11, the first 4 verses. Now it came to pass, as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." So he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.'" So far the word. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, to have the 6-part midweek Lenten series that we do this year serves to underscore a truth that we know about our Savior Jesus Christ, and that is that during his ministry, he showed himself to be a man of prayer. The 6 Bible readings serve as examples of Jesus praying. One of them, not in our series of 6, however, one of them is an entire chapter, John chapter 17, a prayer that is recorded, spoken by Jesus, before he and his disciples went out to the Garden of Gethsemane the night he was betrayed. But besides that one lengthy prayer, we really don't know much about the words that Jesus spoke in the prayers that he made to his heavenly Father. But where there are words of prayer recorded, there is a recurring word in what Jesus spoke. Maundy Thursday night, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me." Good Friday morning, "Father, forgive them." Maundy Thursday night again, "Father, the hour has come." When he stood at the tomb of Lazarus, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." You hear the word. His prayers were always addressed to his heavenly Father. So it's not surprising when one of his disciples comes to him in this text and asks Jesus to teach them how to pray, he encouraged them and us to speak to God in the same way, "Our Father in heaven." Those 2 words. It is such a blessing that you and I, as believers, can speak to God in the way that Jesus himself did. To speak to God as to our Father. To say "our Father" assumes that there is a relationship in place between us and God. As Luther put it, that he is our dear Father and that we are his dear children. And when we remember that there's that relationship of father and children between us and God, we also remember what it took to make that relationship possible. There was a time recorded in John's Gospel Jesus had quite a long dialogue between himself and the Jews who did not believe in him. And at one point in that dialogue, the unbelieving Jews, they appealed to the fact that Abraham was their father. And Jesus' response to that was to say that, no, you are of your father, the devil. Of your father, the devil. You do realize that those words are true of us by nature as well. The only one that we are born with the right to call father is the one who is, as the Bible says, the father of lies. The one who is the source of all evil. Yes, we're born in his family. We're born dead in sins. We're born wicked. We are born unbelievers. The devil's our father spiritually by nature. To call God our father calls to mind what God had to do to make that possible. And of course, what he has done for us to be his children. All that sin, that unbelief, wickedness, rebellion that stood between us and God had to be taken out of the way. And that has been done. That's what Jesus is all about. Think of where we are in the church year. We've already seen Jesus being born. That he came to this earth as a human being, a holy one. Angel told Mary that one who's to be born will be called the Son of God. He's come into the world, Son of God, Son of Man. The season of Epiphany, we've seen his holy life. No sin. And now during Lent, we see him offering that holy life as the one for all time sacrifice, as the perfect payment for the sins of the world. Now it is, because of that perfect life, because of Jesus' holiness, because that was done for us, we now have that relationship with God by faith. The passage says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And Paul continues that thought in Galatians. He says, because you are sons, God has sent his Spirit into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So that's one thing we see tonight. This miraculous, blessed truth that we are able to call God our Father, all because of Jesus himself. The other thing then is what we say to our Father when we pray to him. We know that our relationship with God the Father is spiritual in nature. Our relationship with him is built on faith. It's built on trust in his word. And so it's not surprising that many of these words that Jesus directs us to pray to the Father are going to be spiritual in nature. That's our relationship with God the Father. He addresses us to speak to God concerning his name, concerning the growth of his kingdom by the spread of his word, to speak to God concerning his holy will, concerning forgiveness of our sins, dealing with temptation, delivering us from the evil one. with Jesus himself, giving us this as a pattern for prayer in what we call the Lord's Prayer, we do well to follow this pattern, regardless of what words we use. I mentioned that, yes, most of the prayer is spiritual in nature. There is one of the petitions that asks for physical, earthly blessing. So certainly it is not wrong for us to bring before the Lord our earthly needs and concerns. After all, he does say, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And then you think of all the people during Jesus' ministry who came to him, beseeching him, praying him that he would take care of their earthly needs, their illness, their blindness, whatever it was. And Jesus helped. He healed them. So it isn't wrong to bring earthly concerns to the Lord. But when I look at the Lord's Prayer, the point that I see is balance. There's seven petitions in that prayer. Six are spiritual. One is earthly. So when it comes to my praying to my Heavenly Father, 6 out of 7 minutes, if that's how a person counts, 6 out of 7 minutes, spend it on spiritual matters that relate between you and your Heavenly Father. Jesus talks about this in the Sermon on the Mount. He says in Matthew 6, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. And here's the key line. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need all those things. All those earthly things that the Gentiles are so concerned about, God knows you need that. And then Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things, all those earthly things, they'll be added to you. In my mind, I hear Jesus saying, you know, don't even need to bother asking for earthly things. Focus on the spiritual and all those other things. God will give you those in due course. They come. But again, point is, remember the model that we have here of the Lord's Prayer. Don't forget to focus on spiritual matters when you talk to your Heavenly Father. We're able to speak to God as our Father. We have Jesus giving us words to pray when we speak to him. There's one last thing to notice. When Jesus gives this special prayer, notice what question he's answering. When that disciple came to him, he said, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus, how can we pray? The question was not, Lord, would you please tell us exactly what words we have to say when we pray? Why do I bring that up? This Lord's Prayer is extremely special. After all, these are words that Jesus himself gave us to pray to his Heavenly Father. So yes, we do well to use it often, but not to fall into thinking that somehow, using certain exact words, give this prayer more intrinsic value than any other prayer we may offer. This prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is not a magical incantation. It isn't. Besides that, I think if it were something magical, we wouldn't find what we do in Scripture. And that is, when Jesus himself gave the prayer to his disciples, we've got it recorded two different times. Once in the Sermon on the Mount, once here in Luke. And going back, not only in the English, but the original Greek, the words aren't the same both times. They were different. So we get the distinct impression that Jesus was not after giving us a code to use. He's giving us a model prayer to follow. So yes, let's use it. Use it often. Perhaps, even in your own prayer life, read the prayer for yourself out of a different translation. NIV, Beck's Bible, New King James, or the Old King James that we customarily use in church. In that way, help yourself to see more fully in a different translation what those words are that we are so accustomed to using. Perhaps even when you use the Lord's Prayer, incorporate Martin Luther's explanation to each of the petitions so that you are led to focus and to think about what each phrase is asking the Lord for. And then when it comes to your personal prayers, this is a pattern Jesus gave. Use it. When you spend your personal heart-to-heart talking time with God, use this as a pattern for how you speak with Him on your own. So we close. Jesus spoke in prayer to his Father. We have that blessing of speaking to God as our Heavenly Father too, for the sake of Jesus Christ alone. Let us then follow Jesus' example. Bring to the Father all of our concerns, whether they are spiritual or earthly, for we know that as we pray in Jesus' name, his Father will hear us. Amen. We do continue with the next hymn. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.